us. Come on.
Thank you, Pastor Marty. Okay, yeah, y'all sit down. He set the bar just a little too high tonight. Let me show you a little infomercial for Kufi. Then I'm going to get settled up here because I'm going to come preach on the floor. Watch this. You know what? I dropped the Wi-Fi already up here. I don't know why. And now this isn't working, and I don't know why. So this is going to be one of these nights where the spirits are messing with us, and we don't care because we're going to win. Press the pad lightly, and you'll move it forward.
Who recognize that Kufi is an invaluable asset to the relationship between America and Israel, as well as to the future of both of our countries.
Kufi is an amazing organization. In 10 years, you've gathered more than 3 million members and are active on more than 300 college campuses. Kufi never shies away from standing with Israel, from standing with the truth. We deeply appreciate your support. We deeply appreciate your friendship. Thank you all. God bless you all.
As we look forward to the next decade and beyond, we are excited and encouraged by the rapid expansion of our organization's influence on Capitol Hill, in the media, and in churches and colleges across America. With the help of every pro-Israel Christian, we can safeguard Israel's future. Join Christians United for Israel, and we'll teach you how to take your place as a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem. The movement is over 3 million voices strong. Add yours today.
Okay, Christians United for Israel, what an honor for us to be here tonight. Before we go any further, I want to do what's only right, and that is to thank God along with you for the leaders you have here, Pastor, First Lady, the McDonald clan, because when God finds good people, he does good things, and you're the recipients of it day in and day out. Can we thank God for the leadership of this church, from the sound booth to the offices, to the senior pastor, First Lady, the worship team, everybody, the children, Superwoman over here who broke 2 school records this year. Yesterday, 2 school records broken. Stand up. Do you all know about that? She broke 2 school records. You're taller than that. Yeah. Check it out. You have super women here. Y'all are. I think women are the fairer and finer sex in the faith. I do. No, I read the Bible. First at the tomb, last at the cross. I could go on and on. Women. So God bless you, my sisters. You gave us a lot more than just belly buttons. We love you. And without you, the world is a mess. Got a couple stories to tell you. Let me start with this one. Once a year, in the mountains of Tangier, Morocco, over 200,000 Sufi Muslims gather to celebrate their founder, the Mullah Abdessalam. Nabil Baraka is the head Sufi Imam of Tangier. He has about 22 million followers. This particular year, he invited Archbishop Santiago Martinez, the Archbishop of Tangier. He reports directly to the Pope. He also invited a famous around the world Chabad rabbi, Rabbi Yossi Garelik, and brought them up to dance and celebrate in the mountains of Tangier, Morocco. Also this year, he invited Rabbi Shmulik from California and me to dance with 250,000 Sufi Muslim in the mountains of Tangier, Morocco for 2 weeks that we were with them. You're all looking at me. You look funny and you crazy. You could be right on both, but I need to explain this to you. For 2 weeks, we were the host of the Sufi Imam of Tangier, Morocco. Oh, and Ahmed the Rifleman came with us. My wife made me go. She wasn't trying to get me killed. I had met the Imam a year before in Brussels. Too long of a story, but I met him. Hit it off with him immediately. After 2 days together, repeatedly, I told him I loved him, and I did. And he'd never been told that he was loved by a Christian before in his life. And he gets around, let me tell you. When you have 22 million followers, you're known. He'd never felt love from a Christian. My wife said, honey, he's invited you to come. His wife had twins. He wanted me to come and celebrate. You've told him you love him, you have to go. I said, well, okay, ha-ha on you, because he's invited you too, lady. You need to come with me. But you don't know my wife? She said, of course I'll go with you. And for 2 weeks, we were the guests of the head Sufi Imam of Tangier, Morocco, and traveled throughout the Islamic country of Morocco. And each day, there'd be plainclothes policemen with guns, and he'd say, no, 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 we're safe. We don't need that. I'd go, oh, no, it's all right. No, they can come if they want. Let's have them come. And they didn't, and we were safe, and it was a mighty time. Too many stories to tell. How is it I could love this Muslim man? Well, welcome to my world. Half my life I spend with Muslim people. This is my neighborhood. That's looking out my front door. And these men with the beards, I helped raise them when they were babies. And I'm working on a second generation of kids. I've been with them for over 25 years in the hood. I'm a pastor in the hood, as many of you know. Worked with gangs and all kinds of mess. And I bought a house in the middle of the largest Sunni Pakistani Muslim community in all of Northern California, and I didn't even know it. God just did it. You ever feel like you don't even belong to yourself anymore? He just kind of moves you around. Whatever he wants to do, he does with you. Sometimes we call him Jehovah Sneaky. We don't know what he's doing next, and I have loved Muslims from half my life, and I do, and they love me. Just because I work for the largest pro-Israel organization in the nation, love the Jewish people with a jealous personal love, doesn't mean I hate Muslims or hate anybody. God so loved the, thank God he did, made room for you. You were probably easy. Made room for me, not so much. You're not easy? You want to talk about it? Maybe later. Made room for all of us. Got plenty of room left for a little bit longer. But because I've loved the Jewish people actively, love without action is meaningless. Actively, I have many Jewish friends. Rabbi Yossi, he was up dancing with me in Tangier. You dance with a Chabad rabbi in Tangier, Morocco, you're going to be tight by the time you get home. And we've been in each other's home. He's known all around the world. His father is the head rabbi of Italy. All the Chabad, 1,000 of them, report to his daddy. I mention his name anywhere in the world, and I'm a friend to the Chabad rabbis. His brother-in-law is Rabbi Mandy Cohen on my right, my left, your right, looking at it. And he's a dear friend. He's in Sacramento. He's known all over the world. And We've been at each other's house many times, and we love each other, and we study. We Torah tussle together, and once a year, when they have Hanukkah, he invites me to light the giant 30-foot-tall menorah in front of the state capitol, probably because I'm the only guy that can reach it, but also because he loves me and trusts me, and he has my band do the music. The songs of Zion we sing. And he has me be the guest speaker because he's been loved by me, and Jews have not been loved by Christians. If you don't know our history, it's a sad one. And he's been loved, and he's been loved by me. We'll save that for later. He's been loved by me, and he knows it. And he knows it. And love is amazing. We're told in the Word of God it's the most important thing. We're just noise without it. We're pounding brass and broken glass and crashing cymbals without love. It's the most important thing, and we're warned, you must love without hypocrisy. Because of my love for the Jewish people and the Muslim people, I get invited to crazy things and wonderful things. I was invited to a Pesach dinner. Pesach, you know what Pesach is? Passover. The Jewish word, Pesach, Passover. The Jews were told, once they escaped from Egypt, do this from now on, perpetually, forever and ever. Not until Messiah comes, but forever and ever. Do it, because your kids weren't there and they need to know about it. So every year they still do Passover, remembering that they've been delivered and they're free. I was invited to a Pesach dinner. It was a black tie affair, and I got all dressed up and went there, and tables everywhere, hundreds of people, and I went right over to the kosher hors d'oeuvre table, because kosher hors d'oeuvres are really good. And I like to eat. I can eat so much kosher sushi, they call me Orca after about 5 minutes. But as I'm eating, I see a man of the cloth walk in, a pastor, a reverend of some sort. A few Jews go up to meet him, and I can tell he's known. They call me over. I run over to meet him. I sadly leave the smoked salmon, but I'll be back, darling. And they go, Father, this is Pastor Victor with Christians United for Israel. I gripped his hand and he took it. He said, oh. You see, the way you've been taught the Word of God, the Jews are precious and God ain't done with them yet, you're a remnant. Most of Christendom does not believe that. Most. Been doing this 40 years. The World Council of Churches has 500 million members. 500 million. Excuse me, 500,000, 500,000, 500,000 members, staunchly anti-Israel. In America, we have maybe 80, what, how many Christians in America? 80 million, something like that, yeah. Yeah, anyway. I had just met one of the leaders of the anti-Israel Christian movement in my community. Oh, he said. I squeezed his hand just a little tighter, as men do. I couldn't say it's good to meet you because I don't lie. I said it's good to be here, and it was. I ran back to the hors d'oeuvres, and I don't pray selfish prayers. I really don't think I do, but I did that night. I said, Lord God Most High, in Jesus' name, sit me somewhere far away from him. I'm here to be with my friends and encourage my Jewish friends, and thank you, amen. Moment later, I hear my name. I go running over. Yes, come sit right here, right next to him. Right next to him. Hundreds of people, many, many tables. Right next to him is where they seat me. I'm like, what about this thing? You'll bless them that bless them. Yeah, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's not what I was feeling, but thank you, Pastor. I sit down and thank God for matzo ball soup, because he started talking, and if I didn't have a matzo ball in my mouth, I would have bit him in the arm at least. He takes over the table, which is usually my job, but he begins talking. He said, you know, Father McKenzie picked up the rice in the church. He didn't go with Father McKenzie. We'll just call him Father McKenzie. Father McKenzie and I were in Israel. We were shocked how poorly the Jews treated us. He's sitting at a table of Jews, invited as an honored guest. He said, you think they'd know enough, the Jews, not to bite the hand that feeds them. My Jewish guests, I'm sure, were both horrified terrified, and they were absolutely silent because the Jews have learned something, and that is, do not provoke the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Don't provoke them. And they just let it go and smiled. I threw a matzo ball in my mouth and chewed really hard. He said the father was profiled. They took him out of the line and profiled him in front of everyone in the airport. How many of you have been to Israel? A few of you, yes. Everyone's profiled. Every single person that goes to Israel, every person, children, men, women. If Moses showed up, name please, Moshe. Moshe, what is this? What is this thing? It's an ark. It's an ark. Did you pack it yourself? No, my brother helped me. Is your brother here? No. May I open it? No, don't open the ark. Everyone's profiled. I'd hoped he was done, but he wasn't. He said, you know, the peace problem in the Middle East, you know why there is no peace in the Middle East? Oh, Lord, please no. Don't let him tell us. He said, the reason there's no peace in the Middle East is because the Jews don't want it badly enough. I pushed away from my table. I spun around. I said, brother, that is the most naive, foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. The Jews don't want it bad enough. They're surrounded by 22 Muslim-majority nations, only two of which recognize their right to exist, and just barely. Gaza, in which they pulled out over 8,000 Jews, they gave it all to the Palestinians, who then democratically elected Hamas, a terrorist group, has been bombing them for year after year with thousands of missiles. In the moderate West Bank, you have Mahmoud Abbas, who is the leader, a Holocaust denier, and trains the children to grow up and hate Jews and to kill them to take back the entire land of Israel. The problem, sir, with peace in the Middle East is the Jews have no peace partner. I turn back to my soup. And it was this quiet at the table, other than all my friends had their heads down and slurping their soup. Tolerance. A permissive attitude towards opinions that differ from one's own. Well, tolerance toward wickedness has brought a global ice age of conscience upon my generation. The millennial generation, many are suffering of it as well, and we're dying in its numbing hypothermic grip. We cannot use tolerance toward the spreading anti-Semitism and hatred for the Jewish people, and almost all of the arguments about the nation of Israel is anti-Semitism at the root. Almost all of it. I like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He's my kind of guy. Jesus, if I'm wrong, have mercy on me. But if I have a shot at killing Adolf Hitler, I'm going to take it. That's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a pastor. Read the book about him. If you don't know, you should. But if you don't know, read the book. He was hung for it naked 2 weeks after the war ended. They hung him anyway. The Nazis did. He tried to kill Hitler with a group of other pastors. I'm not saying it's good to kill people. I'm just saying that he's my kind of guy. And if I'm wrong, Lord, have mercy on me. And I like what he says. I also like what the Word of God says, because tolerance is way too low of a bar for us who are Christians. We're called to love even our enemies. We're called to love without being hypocritical. I love that word in the Greek language, hypocrite or hypocritical. Do you know what it means? You know what it's from? It's a root word. It means stage actor. A stage actor, a hypocrite, stage actor. Why would that? Well, because a stage actor does what? Pretends. The Word of God warns us. I think for New Testament Christians, when you think of hypocrite, the interaction that really jumps out is when Jesus is talking to an individual and says, "You hypocrite! Why'd you try and take the speck out of your brother's eye, right? When you got a board in your own." I love the Word of God, because when it convicts you of sin, it then shows you the way out. You hypocrite. You pretender. In the hood, we say, don't be a player. Why do you try and take a speck out of your brother's eye when you got a board in your own? Then the Word of God shows us how to be delivered from it. Take care of the board in your own life. Take care of your own mess. Then go help the man, it says, Jesus says. That speck will take his eye out, but take care of your own board first. I love that about the Word of God. So when we come to love and there's nothing more important, would we agree on that? The cure, the only answer according to the Word of God to love without being hypocritical is by hating. Yeah, actually it is. Is by hating. You must love without hypocrisy, hating. And my generation has flatlined. We don't hate nothing anymore. Millennials are facing the same thing. It's all good. It's not all good. There's wickedness and there's goodness. Now's the time to shine for Christians. But the answer in the Word of God is by hating wickedness. I hated what that man was saying. I hated what he was doing to my Jewish friends at the table. I hated that he had no conviction of the Holy Ghost. So I can go on and on everything I hated about it. And I was absolutely filled with rage, and I had to address it. I was filled with anger and with rage. I thank God for the Word of God because as a Christian, I'm called to be filled with rage. And now you're going, okay, California pastor, you got cute hair and all, but you're preaching some crazy stuff here. We stick with the Word of God. I know you do, and so do I. The Greek language has no punctuation. We've added that to make it easier to read. So when you read it, it's thoughts. It's flowing thoughts. Book of Ephesians. Speak truth. Be outraged. And don't sin. Outrage. Rage has two definitions in the New Testament. One is power. The other one is fury. Outrage. On my last nerve. Boiling over. And what we find is that it is a gift of God. Outrage is a gift of God. Anger is a gift of God. I know its misuse. I know it better than I know the righteous use of it. So do you. Anger can never be used. Outrage can never be used to chide a child or try and correct a brother or prove a diplomatic, political, or theological point. You can never use rage for that. But outrage, we see it as a gift of God, and it's a tool on your Spirit-filled tool belt to be used for one thing and one thing only, and that is for the protection of somebody else. That's what the gift of outrage is, and I'll use the Word of God to prove it, and I could prove it over and over again to you. And I was filled with rage. And I had to speak. Let me just speak one story to you about this. And listen, I'm familiar, sadly too much so, with the wrong use of anger from Colossians. You must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice. Every spiritual gift has a dark side. And I try to learn the difference between these. The gift of outrage is a gift of God to be used only in the protection of others. Let me give one example. 1 Samuel chapter 11, after about a month after King Saul was crowned as ruler of Israel, King Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, led his army against the little Jewish town of Jabesh in the territory of Gilead, and they surrounded it. The men of Jabesh attempted a peace process with the king of the Ammonites because there were many more of them than in their little Jewish town. And doesn't that sound like today? So they attempted a peace process. The king of the Ammonites said, Sure, we'll make a treaty with you on just one condition. I'll be back in a week or so. Bring out your little girls, your young boys. Bring out your babies, your grandmothers, your old men and women. Bring everybody out into the square of the city. I'll be back in a week or so, and we will gouge the right eye out of every one of your children, out of every one of your men and women. This is in the Word of God. And we'll bring disgrace upon you. And then we'll be at peace, and we'll leave you alone. It's in the Bible. If you read, they'd been doing it to some towns. And he left, promising to come back. Imagine if someone came through those doors and had the power to do that. The leaders of Jabesh sent messengers with a cry for help to the town of Gibeah, where King Saul lived. And upon hearing the news there, the people wept in despair. Saul was just coming in from the field with his oxen, and he asked, What's wrong? What happened? Why is everyone crying? And they told him what the messengers had reported. Listen, when Saul heard this, the Ruach Elohim, Hebrew, the Spirit of God, in this host, we call it him, the Holy Ghost, took control of Saul, and he was filled with outrage. Because it's a gift of God to use in the protection of others. Why wasn't he weeping as every single person in the town? Because they were filled with the spirit, not of God, of despair. But God had a way to reach the king he had appointed. There was a place for the Ruach Elohim, the Holy Ghost. And he filled him with outrage. Saul slaughtered his oxen, cut them up into little pieces. Gave him the messengers. They ran them all over throughout Israel. Each place they dropped them off, said, you better show up. This is going to be done to all your oxen. The people of Israel were afraid, listen, of what the Lord might do. Not crazy King Saul, what the Lord might do. You know the story. It was a good day to be a Hebrew. It was a bad day to be an Ammonite. Thank God they were delivered. I suggest to you the terms of peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis is just as wicked as this one being suggested. The Palestinians will not rest until the nation of Israel is destroyed through indefensible boundaries, swarmed with 5 million Palestinians, many of which hate them. And I am pro-Palestinian, and I'm pro-Muslim, and I can prove it to you with 25 years of my life. They suffer. They suffer under Palestinian leaders, not under Jewish leaders. You've been lied to in the paper. If you haven't noticed, every now and then the news lies. If you haven't noticed, the devil is a liar, and what God loves, the devil hates. Palestinians suffer under Palestinian rule, and yet the peace treaty they want is to have indefensible boundaries, 5 million Palestinians in, and every Jew pushed into the ocean in the East Jerusalem, gouged out of the heart of the Jewish people. Now, this is a hard message to speak. Pastor's office will be open 24 hours a day if you need a little renewing. But it is the Word of God. I get tested in this stuff. I don't know if God tests any of you when you preach something, but I do all the time. This is one of my many, many Jewish friends. This is Hassan, Rabbi, Cantor, Avraham Alpert. To me, he's Avi, my buddy Avi. He's a worship leader. That's what a Hassan is. We've been friends for years. He first hated me when he met me. And boy, that song was going through my mind. Oh, I'm going to make you love me. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. After our first coffee, 2.5 hours later, and when we drink coffee, we're like 2 15-year-old girls on Red Bull, let me tell you. And we worked through all his madness and hurt, and we became best friends. And we drank coffee often, and then he moved far away. I got a call from his wife, Cam, and she said, Pastor Victor, I have to ask you a really big favor, and I know you're really, really busy, but Avi's double high birthday's coming up. In the Hebrew language, every letter has a number, and every letter has a name and a meaning. The chai is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It means life. And its number is 18. When you have a double chai birthday, you're turning 36. It's like a big deal. Avi's double chai birthday was coming. And she said, I keep asking him, honey, what do you want for your double chai birthday? He goes, I want to have coffee with Pastor Victor. Yeah, he doesn't live in the same state as we do, honey. Remember, we moved about a year ago. I just want to have coffee with Pastor Victor. Okay, we're going to buy you a tie. We're going to buy you a tie. She said, Pastor, I know you're busy. If we sent you a ticket, could you fly? I said, I'm not that busy. You say when? You bet I will. Sent me a ticket. I got there. She and the kids picked me up. I think they sent Avi to go get some kosher bacon or something. They said, oh, he'll be gone a long time. Don't worry about it. We get to the house. The kids lay out this paper. They go, Victor, we want to trick Abba when he gets home. And we're going to draw a big card, a birthday card. Because we'll say, Abba, you wanted Victor to come and he couldn't come. So I laid down. When I saw this picture, I went, looks like a crime scene. Sacramento pastor found dead in the home of Rabbi Cantor. As they're drawing and outlining and giggling, Cam's in the kitchen. Somebody had just given him a video camera. She's playing with it. Front door opens. Avi's home early. He found the kosher bacon. Watch what happened. She turned on the camera. Watch.
She wanted Victor to come. So we drew a picture of him.
We drew a picture.
Isn't that funny? Look at what they're doing.
That's funny.
So funny, huh?
It is funny.
Is that hilarious? We did a good job, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Do you still want to go to breakfast, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Avi and I went out for coffee, Starbucks. Avi's a proud Jew. He's not an arrogant Jew. He's proud to be a Jew. He wears his kippah everywhere. It's a sign that he humbles himself before God, so he covers his head before God. He wears it everywhere. We're sitting at Starbucks outside. Avi's here. I'm here. I'm loud. I'm a loud guy, but I hear a college boy coming, and he's got a Bluetooth. This dude is loud. He's shouting to somebody, and I look over, and I see him. I smile, give him a little wink, and he throws his books on the table, sits down. College boy sees Avi's kippah, and all of a sudden, he shouts even louder into his cell phone or into his Bluetooth, oh, great, there's some blanking Jews here. And he says it so loud, Avi looks at me, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm going to be honest with you, I acted. I acted like I didn't hear it. Just kept talking. College boy wasn't done. He said, I don't care. All the blanking Jews want to do is take all my blanking money. And Avi looked at me again, and the best I could do in my little stage performance was just wrinkle my brow and shake my head. Oh, that's so very bad, he's saying that, Avi. Next thing comes out of his mouth, I don't blanking care. What are they going to do? Crucify me like they did blanking Jesus. I push back from the table. I'm pushing back from tables these days a lot. I'm a big guy, but I'm a skinny guy. I sucked as much air into me like a blowfish man. And I just start swagging over there. I'm thinking I'm bringing some Popeye swag to you. So you're too young. You don't even know who Popeye is. He could take Batman so easy. And I'm walking over there. I feel my archangel's wings unfurl. And I walk up to the guy and I go, hey, you. You got a problem? You got a problem. Stupid. I have no plan. I've got no plan. But the Ruach Elohim has just grabbed hold of me. And I'm not a hypocrite. And I love Avi. And I've been filled with outrage over what he is saying because God has grabbed a hold of me. He said, college boy sitting there all chill, goes, no, I ain't got a problem. Do you? Yeah, I do. You're obnoxious and you're offensive. You need to pack up your books and you need to get out of here. Oh, you own Starbucks. Ooh, my little squirrels are running around. Yeah, my dad does. My father. My dad does. He owns all the cattle. I'm not going to lie. No, I'm a pastor. I don't need to lie to get out of getting beat up by college boy. Yeah, my daddy do. Two things happen. Number one, college boy stands up. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when college boys stand up, they're a lot bigger than when they're sitting. He was a big boy. And I live in the inner city. I don't start fights. I've been in many of them just because you're trying to break them up and not get hit. And sometimes you got to push back a little bit. But I don't start fights. Last time I started a fight, I was about your age. And a guy's name was Jeff Hefner. We were in elementary school. Yes, you, my young man. Yes, sir, you. And Jeff Hefner, I popped him on the head. We rolled on the ground. I won. And we were best friends the rest of our life. That was like kindergarten or first or second, third grade, whatever you are. But if I'm going to re-enter the ring, I'm going to re-enter it here and right now. Because I'm not a hypocrite. And I'm filled with the Ruach Elohim, the Holy Ghost. And he's filled me with outreach to protect my friend Avi. It's about to go on, whatever it is. And I'm not going to let him headbutt me. If I have to, I'll duck and pop him in the nose and run. Avi, we're done now. Come on. Let's go. But as we're waiting for somebody to do something in a nanosecond, I hear yelling, and about that direction, two guys with business suits are running down the aisle. They come running over. They go, hey, you, kid, we just called 911. We own the Starbucks. They actually owned it with my dad. They grabbed his books, put him in the backpack, and walked him right down the aisle, and off he went. So thank God. I was like, yeah, don't you come back here either, man. I'll give you some of I'm watching you. Don't you ever come back around this place. I know I'm a mess, but I come back to Avi and he, No, it is. Because I'm not a hypocrite with my love. I'm not. Not for Avi. Not for many people. I'm a Christian. The whole Word of God. Every spiritual gift, even outrage, when it's called for. If it's a punk father next to you embarrassing your Jewish friends, or if it's a punk college kid, outrage is the gift. Anything less is hypocritical. Avi was quiet for a long time, and he was crying quietly, silently, tears going down his cheek, because, see, he has two sons, Ezra, Solomon, and they love to wear kippahs. And they go out in public. This is in the United States of America. And he's thinking of them, and he's thinking of the world his two sons and his daughters are growing up in. And it's sure starting to feel a lot like 1939, right before the Holocaust. And it's not going to be 1939 because we won't be silent. We won't just shout and yell and hear. We'll do it anytime it crosses our path and we're there. And after a while, he put his hand in my hand, and I gripped it. He said, I love you, Victor. I said, I love you, Avi. He goes, well, I know that. I said, I hope you do. Beloved, because we love, we will no longer tolerate or use tolerance when there's anti-Semitism or any sort of hatred around us. But the hatred for the Jew is taking over the world, the Middle East, the United Nations, college campuses. And it's our time. The church during the Holocaust in America was silent. Not one person ever went, stood before the government. Not one person. Certainly there are handfuls of Christians that hid Jews in Europe. I understand that. I'm talking about our nation. The church in America was silent. And it bewilders our Jewish friends to this day. They'll never say anything about it. And it should bewilder us as well. God uses people in every battle. Beloved, let me end with this, because for you to add faith to your love for the Jewish people, or standing with Israel, as Pastor said you do, there's some things you can do to add action to that tonight, because faith without action is worthless. If you're not a member of CUFI, join. When you walked in tonight, you were given a magazine with one of these pledge cards in it. It's not asking for money. Join us. Fill that out. When it gets to the email part, write it as though I was going to send you $100 in the mail so I can read it, especially men, talking to you men. Fill it out. Pull it out right now if you'd like to. Please do. This is a church that stands for Israel. Become a member. Join our 3.5 million people. Every now and then you'll get an email from us of what to really pray for. Every now and then you get an email from us. Two clicks of your computer mouse and a letter goes from you to your legislators or to the president or to the UN or to Bibi Netanyahu. There's some days where there's 50,000 emails from us. We need it to be 50,000 and 100, whatever there are in here. So fill it out before you leave tonight. Leave it on the table on the way out. I'm going to ask something else. Only some of you can do this. Come with us to D.C., to the D.C. Summit. You heard about it in the intro. It's our 12th annual summit. If you're a college student, we'll fly you out. We'll pay your way. We'll take care of your hotel. Bring a friend with you. Get online. Register now. We'll train you for 2 extra days in advocacy. Life-changing. My daughter went. She ended up going to Israel for college. She just came home with a degree in Homeland Security and counterterrorism. You don't know where it's going to take you. Think big. You've got a big God. But sometimes when there's a bowl of porridge put in front of you, you got to bring the spoon to your mouth. Don't be lazy tonight. Go online. Fill out the application for CUFI on campus. If you're a college student, put a little note there. Pastor Victor highly recommends me because Pastor Victor highly recommends me. Put that in there because if you're under the shepherding of Pastor McDonald, I highly recommend you. Come to D.C. with us. Have your life changed. The rest of us show up 2 days later. You come. For $75, I can get you in for the whole summit. Some of you can get the time off. Some of you have $75 and change. You got to get a hotel. You got to get there. Some of you can do that. If you can, unless God gives you a really good reason why you shouldn't, come. It's the 12th year we've been doing it. And what we do is broadcast all around the world, especially in the Muslim-majority nations. So when they see the voice, when we say we're pro-Israel in this room, fine. Doesn't do a whole lot, but encourage each other. This is the huddle. The game is out there. This has been a huddle tonight. Thank you. Y'all good players. And then on the second day, we swarm Capitol Hill. You will go and meet with your representatives. Preset appointments. I'm from California. I meet with Dianne Feinstein. She's always thrilled to see us. And that's how the world turns. The D.C. Summit. It's in July. You got time. If you're a college student, sign up now. Pastor and Dianne invite each of you personally. You can call the office, tell them Pastor Victor said you can get in for $75. Some of our speakers, there's many others that you'll hear, some of the finest speakers in the world. And then we just got this news last week. God bless you all. I love you.
An exciting new day has dawned for Christians United for Israel. After more than 10 years on the front lines fighting for Israel, now we have allies in the White House. Guided by his Christian faith, Vice President Pence has been a lifelong supporter of Israel. This support was intensified after his trip to Israel with CUFI when he was the governor of Indiana. And now, we are excited to announce that Vice President Mike Pence will be our keynote speaker at this year's CUFI Washington, D.C. Summit. Don't miss this historic event. You can register right now for only $75 using the special discount code WATCHMAN. We have operators waiting to receive your calls at 210-477-4714. Or you can register online at www.cufi.org/summit. We hope you join us with Pastor Hagee and Vice President Mike Pence at the CUFI Summit.
That's beautiful. I've been to, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4, and plan on going this year as well. Thank you, Victor. Can we give a big God bless you to Pastor Victor tonight? I want to do one more thing, and the Lord nudged me to do this. I don't say this often, but he nudged me. I planned to give Victor, and he does not ever come for anything. CUFI sends him. We had a pastors and leaders luncheon yesterday. CUFI pays for that. They don't ask for anything. He'll never ask you for anything, but he comes, and he doesn't want anything. But I felt the Lord tonight, I was going to give him something. Then when I was praying about it, I felt the Lord say, you need to let everybody have an opportunity to sow into his life. Come on up here a minute. Come up here. I know this is going to make you feel uncomfortable. It's good for you. Benjamin, I want you to come up here. Honey, I want you to come up here. Chuck Venditti, I want you to come up here. Ryan, I want you to come up here. I want you to lay your hands on Victor. I just believe God. I want you to pray. What the Lord would just, I blessed him one time, and I have been blessed because of this man's life. Such a beautiful way. I want to pray for him now. As we're praying for him and just believing God to strengthen him. You know, when you stand up against wickedness and evil, the enemy is always trying to slow you up and attack not only him. It's easy. Victor handled it. But then the enemy goes beyond that. He's always after your family. He's always after that. So, Father, tonight, we pray for our brother. We pray not only for him, we pray for the angel of the Lord to encamp around him, but also his family, his children, Lord. I pray that you would lift the burden off of him, God, even for those that he feels like he has done all he can do. And I pray that tonight, Lord, the same God that he declares, not only across this nation, but around the world, he will see your personal involvement in those areas in an exponential way, sooner than he has ever even thought. I pray, Lord, for incredible favor to come upon his life. I pray in this next 12 months, God, that you will open up your good storehouse over his life and over his family. Come on, church, I need you to agree with me tonight. Come on. I want to hear amen. God, I want you to just stretch your hand towards him and say, Lord, we bless Victor tonight. Come on. Lord, we bless him. Come on, say, we bless his family tonight. We bless his children tonight. We bless he and his wife tonight, God. And we give you glory and we give you honor for that tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said a great amen. I want you to do one more thing. Ushers, I want you to come on down here. Actually, I just want two of you. Brad and Chris, come down here. Just Brad and Chris. Walk right down the middle here. Come on. Come quickly. I want you to get an offering. This is going to go 100% for Victor. He didn't ask for this. He is one of the few people that ever come and never ask for another. Come down, you handsome-looking guys. Turn around. I want you to prepare an offering. I want you to bring it up here. Put it in that. I want him to see you come. And because of that, you will encourage his life. I want you to look up here. I want you to come. I don't care if you got 5 cents or 500. Come on. Bring it right now. Ryan, come on up here and sing. What? Oh, you want to make a check out? Make it out to City Church. We're going to do it. You can go online. You can text. Put that text thing up there, would you, boys? If you want a text to give, you can do that. I should have done that earlier. I did not do that as tonight. Let's sow something into his life tonight. Thank you, Lord. Look at these young kids coming up here, Victor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Stand up on your feet tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes in his presence tonight. Oh, thank you, God. I'll tell you, I pray, just your eyes closed just for a minute in God's house in his presence tonight. I want you to be cognizant of the nation of Israel. When you hear the news and negative news disparaging Israel, you stand with Israel. You fill out that pledge card tonight. That information, become a part of Kufi and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall be blessed and they shall prosper. Father, I thank you tonight for your blessing upon this house. I pray for the blessing to be upon Jerusalem and the state of Israel. We stand with them tonight, God, and we believe you, Lord, that greater things are yet to come. I pray for everyone that is in here tonight, even for those, somebody is here that's feeling a nudge to go to Washington. I pray, God, that you'll open up a door. I pray that as they ask you to make a way, that you will make that way. That our voices will be heard, and we won't let any bullies disparage our Jewish friends. But we'll stand with our voices and shoulder to shoulder and say, we love you. We stand with you. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. I pray blessing over every life here tonight. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Victor, will you go out to the table tonight? He's got some stuff. Make sure you say hi to Victor and bless him and shake his hand. Tell him thank you so much for coming. I love you. If you need prayer for anything else before you leave, you come on down. We'll pray for you, okay?
Lord, whatever.